Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of our brand new podcast here in journalism called the Super Socius Students Podcast.
It doesn't flow. We all know the name is going to be Socius Unpacked. It's very clever, very good, very catchy. Mr. Pack doesn't want it because he doesn't want all the attention, but he knows he deserves it.
You know what, I realize, Harrison, we, again, did not introduce ourselves, so right. We'll do it right now.
You're right. All right. So, you want to start?
All right, so I'm Mr. Pack. I'm here with...
I'm Harrison Pomerantz.
And we're the hosts for this first episode of our podcast, Super Socius Students Podcast.
Alrighty,
Michelle likes it.
Yep, not that. Michelle, what sounds better? Michelle, come in here. What do you think sounds better? Socius Unpacked or...
Super Socius Students Podcast.
Socius Unpacked.
Yeah, all right. So we're currently at a 2-1 vote. I'm sure this will continue on. 3-1 vote for...
You're all dead to me. All
right. I guess it is Socius Unpacked officially. So that is what the name of this podcast will be. Please stay tuned. It'll be a good old time. Today we have someone special.
Yes. Her name is Sydney Stern, and she has done some amazing things in her short life. She is a social justice warrior and a great amateur tennis player.
And amongst all that, she's an eighth grade student, which is quite amazing when you hear about some of the things she has done, the things she is doing and will do. I think she is a great image of what the future of our country and our youth should be and should head towards. And I think she's a very interesting young girl.
Yeah, I think she's a great person to kick off this new show, the Super Socius Students Podcast.
Socius Unpacked is what he meant to say.
And we're going to spotlight some of the great students and people here at campus at Sherman Oaks CES. And I think you'll be pretty amazed to hear about Sydney and what she has done, and hopefully it will inspire a lot of you to do some of the things she has done so far.
Yeah, so just stay tuned. This will be very interesting, not only this episode, but hopefully the episodes to follow. So I think we're going to learn a lot, not only about the school, but about the people of the school and their lives outside of the school. So I think it'll be a grand old time. So just stick around for Socius Unpacked.
Thanks. So Harrison's going to be very honored that you're joining me today.
Oh, of course.
I'm hoping that, you know, this other students get involved and host this show, not just me and you. And
it'll be a good old time.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. So hope everyone enjoys.
Yeah.
And stay tuned for episode 1 of the Super Socius Students Podcast.
Socius Unpacked.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Adios.
Stein.
Well, there could be a Sydney Stein here.
There might be a Sydney Stein, but I was talking about Sydney Stern.
All right.
But
I mean, you could always call me Sydney Curious, but
Sydney Curious?
Curious. He's a tennis player.
Oh.
Yeah.
Andre, Sydney's a big tennis fan. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Are you a fan of the tennis, Harrison?
Not. People told me I look like Roger Federer.
Not at all.
I play like him, though, so you already know.
Well.
Catch me on the court.
Okay. Well, we're here with Sydney Stern, an eighth grader here at Socius, and we're going to be talking about several things. Sydney is what I call a social justice warrior. She's an advocate for many things, and she's a real interesting person, so...
Well, before we get started, you just give us a brief overview of what you've done so far and what you plan to do.
When I was 8, I started a jewelry business called Jewels for Justice, and I basically help out refugees all over Africa, mostly in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is, it's like the rape capital of the world, so I try to help out women who've already... sexual harassment victims and all those kind of things, sexual violence victims, and that's most of my work, and
You're also involved with the Jewish World Watch, is that correct?
Yeah.
Tell the viewers what the Jewish World Watch is.
Okay, so Jewish World Watch was a charity started, I think, the year I was born in 2005, because of the Darfur genocide, which is the genocide that happened in Sudan and just basically ended, and they're basically having another one right now. Even though the leader has stepped down, he hasn't really stepped down. Jewish Shield Watch basically just helps out refugees over the world. They have a little bit more of a... they do a lot more work than I do, so they're all over the world. They help out. They actually do something very interesting. They do grant making, so they don't... They collect money, and then they give it to charities that are on the ground. So they do... They help out Syrian refugees, Sudanese refugees, South Sudanese refugees, Congolese refugees, and just a little bit of that little area where there's really bad genocides going on.
Where did your connection to these places really derive from? Where did it come from?
So... The I'm Jewish, and so the temple that I went to, that I still go to, had a thing called Mitzvah Day. And so the charity, Jewish Shield Watch, was started at my temple, the rabbi who's passed away, but he had started the charity. And so I basically learned about this. They had, like, they made us, like, make little canisters with pictures, and I collected, like, $60 worth of loose change, and I met the people who worked at the charity, and I was just like, this is really what I want to do.
Wow. And you do a lot to spread awareness about genocide, correct?
Yeah. So...
So what is your... Like, how do you do that? What do you do? Kind of, where did you get passionate about the subject? Where did you learn about it?
Well, for me, the subjects I really, really work on now is something that's... We're finally... really learning about, finding on, like, groups on the ground. But some of the ways, like, I spread the message is, like, I'll go to representatives, so House Representative Congress members and senators, and really talk to them about what I want legislation to sign or what I want them to be careful with. So it goes from there. Or I'll go and tell someone at, like, my temple or another boutique, and I'll just try to spread the message over there.
I think Sydney's being a little humble, because a couple of weeks ago she went to D.C. and spoke to members of Congress and was part of a workshop.
Yeah, so I went
to... Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I went to a summit called Lumpkin Summit. So it's named after Raphael Lumpkin, who was a Holocaust survivor. He basically... took the word geno inside, which is basically mass killings, the Latin roots, and put it together. So it really, the word hasn't really been around since then. And so it was just basically workshops. The first 2 days, just really what's going on. You really got to focus on what you wanted to do. So you could work on the Democratic Republic of Congo. You can work on Sudan. You could really just work on whatever you wanted to. And so I took that point and I said, you know, maybe I'll go a little bit further from what I usually do. So I decided, why don't I shift back onto my focus that it was 5 years ago when I first started this charity. And I said, I want to really know what's happening in Sudan, which is a terrible situation with peaceful protests. And basically they're getting killed, tortured, and it's the same thing that you're hearing on the news, but it's even more peaceful what the protesters are doing. And they just want democracy.
So not... Everyone here at school may understand what's happening in the Sudan. Can you just give us a quick Wikipedia-style summary
sure.
of what's happening to educate the listeners?
So in the 1990s, there was a president that took power named Omar al-Bashir. Omar al-Bashir is wanted by the International Criminal Court against war crimes, crimes against humanity, those kind of things. And so he basically took... There's a bunch of, like, groups, native tribe groups in Sudan. So there's this group called the Janjaweed. And so he used them, and he basically took them as a militia. So it's called the Janjaweed Militia. And he killed all the Darfuris. Something else that's going on that no one really knows about, something that really caught my eye, was there's some killings going on in a place called Blue Nile, which is across the Nile in Sudan. And they're basically getting bombed so many times, like probably 20 times a day. They have to go underground, and it's absolutely terrible. So right now he's called a national emergency because there are protests on what's going on. So for people who don't know, there was bans on trading for Sudan. So President Obama, right before he stepped down, he took off those. And so the Sudanese president has been hiding behind those. So he's saying the reason why that everything's so expensive is I can't get anything cheap because the whole world won't trade with me. And, well, anyone who's with the UN. And so now it's so clear that they're really getting the proof. The Sudanese people are getting the proof that, no, it's him just trying to take money from us. So they're just trying to get democracy. He did step down, but not really step down. So he's letting someone else take power right now. But it's still terrible. There's still the protest. Peaceful protesters are getting arrested and then tortured and killed. And this is just peaceful protests. People walking down the streets of Sudan with signs saying they want democracy.
So you being an activist in the United States, what do you want the country to do for Sudan? What are you trying to get? What's the goal?
So right now, we just want them to support the Sudanese people, to put back the bans on the training, because that helps the president out on just interactions with other countries. And we want to make sure they're on something called the, they support terrorism. So state supported terrorism list. And we want to make sure they're still on that, because if they're taken off that, sky's the limit of what the president can do, of what Bashir can do. So we just want to make sure they stay on that list and put back those bans on trading and just make sure they're a country that people know as have a dictator as a president, because he's the term limit's 10 years and he's been in office for 29 years. So
you being an eighth grader fighting for these rights, does it ever get discouraging when you're in front of people like Congress, these big time politicians, and you're trying to make this pledge for the people, you're trying to represent people? Are you ever discouraged? Like, what's your mindset going into that?
Definitely not. You actually, if being so young and going to these people, they love you over there. They really listen to you. I remember going to Senator Kamala Harris's office, and her district director, Heather Hutt, she was sick, so she was not really energetic to the group. But when me and an old intern, who was a college student, spoke, she loved it. And Senator Kamala Harris had never really done anything international, and I think that was her first thing that she ever signed on. So something I asked her was support for the Wiesel Act, which was basically helping out refugees. I think 2 weeks later, that was Harris's first international thing she did.
Oh, so you already made a difference.
Yeah, so little differences can make the whole thing. I know I've been able to really connect with especially Congressman Brad Sherman's office. So, like, they know me by name, and it's everyone's really supportive of you at a young age doing what you do.
I was going to ask you, as an eighth grader, it's really amazing that you're doing all these things.
Thank you.
Why is it important for the youth of America to get involved, and why they shouldn't feel like it's something they can't have an impactful effect on? So what makes you want to do it, and why should other young people get involved?
Well, something that it's just as a Jewish person, I know this has already happened to my people during the Holocaust, so it's just something I really feel strongly about, because we've already suffered through it. I don't think anyone else should ever suffer through it. And it's been going on for so many years. And the 90s in Rwanda, they had a genocide. And it's the same thing is going on in South Sudan between the Dinka and the Nuer, but no one knows about it. Everyone knows the Hutu and the Tutsis from Rwanda. And this is just going on over and over again. And I think people my age get really, really involved, because we're the generation that truly can make a difference. And us knowing now could stop it, can try to stop it from happening ever again.
Do you think the schools are doing a good job of spreading that awareness, or do you think the sensitization is kind of fogging the minds and not leading to enough exposure?
I think it's not leading to enough exposure. I think a lot of teachers are afraid of showing their kids what's really going on. Through my charity work, people at the charity, no one else would show me the kind of things. We have a video proof of what's going on in Blue Nile. It's really bad, but I think there's not enough exposure. I think if kids were shown in teenagers shown in high school the movie Hotel Rwanda, maybe something would make a difference. Maybe one person out of that whole group, that one classroom, would actually make a difference because they feel strongly about the topic.
So I can tell you that they do show that, but do you think they show it too late? You'll see that in 10th grade.
Yeah, I think they show it too late. I think, especially, I know it's a PG-13 movie, but if you have parental permission, I think it's totally fine. If they show it in 10th grade, that's, like, probably not the best year to show it in. I think middle school is probably the best year.
So one of the ways you're also involved in this movement is you have a website where you sell jewelry. Can you tell us something about your website, Jewels for Justice?
So my website is not something you should probably go for. I haven't updated that since I was, like, 10. We forgot the password. so we're still trying to figure that one out. But I do boutiques. So Jewels for Justice is my business name. I'm actually distantly related to the woman, to the co-founder of Jewish Gold Watch. Her sister is my uncle's wife, and so at a family reunion she was like, oh my god, you know, you work for this charity, and we named that together. But it's just my business is I do boutiques, and I do at the walk that we're trying to promote, I sell my jewelry there.
So all the profits from the jewelry go to the walk. And you make the jewelry yourself?
Yeah, so it's all handcrafted jewelry. I do bracelets, necklaces, anklets, earrings, keychains, and that kind of stuff.
So if people want to buy jewelry from you, what can they do?
So you can, number one, contact me. My email on that website is probably something, I check it almost daily. So if you have any interest on what kind of thing, I do make custom, so... If you go to school here, I can drop it off. Or
what's your email address? And tell us your advisory so people can go.
Okay.
And...
So my advisory is room 507, and my email is beadartist3542@gmail.com.
Okay. I'm gonna buy something. I've been looking, and I like the beads. Oh, we have two more customers. So
three.
It all goes to four, five.
Let's do it.
And all the proceeds go to the
Jewish World Watch. Yeah.
Jewish World Watch and the Walk to End Genocide, which you're so involved in. Tell us a little bit before that.
So the Walk to End Genocide is we have that in a couple places every year. So we used to do it all over the country, but we've really based it now because our home base is Los Angeles, and we have some people in other states, but it's not so much. So the Walk to End Genocide is basically where all of us have peaceful protests. So we have our signs up. So I know we have a big group of Rohingya. And so what's going on in Burma/Myanmar is these Muslims, are what are called Rohingya people, are basically getting they're fleeing out of their homes, and they're basically getting killed. It's another genocide. So we have a big group of Rohingya who always come every year. I will probably be leading the walk again this year, so it's a lot of fun.
Where is the walk?
So the walk, we have one in Los Angeles and one in Conejo Valley. We have them, I can give Mr. Pack everything in the websites for that kind of stuff. But we have a lot of, like, child-friendly stuff. So we have something called Jump for Justice. And so it's basically jump ropes, and people can really... It's something for everyone. There's always something for everyone. I know something that I love doing is something they have called T-shirt surgery. So they have walk shirts, and so basically you could style your own shirt. And we have some old stuff, so you can really have a lot of fun with it.
What are the dates of the walk?
So,
and how can people sign up and get involved?
So on Jewish Old Watch's website, which is jww.org, you'll be able to find a little link at the like when you first see it, called Walk to End Genocide. So the first one is going to be on Sunday, March 31st in Los Angeles. And then the second one's in Conejo Valley, which is Thousand Oaks area, on April 7th. And so we tend to have a lot of people in government come up. So a lot for a few years now, we've been having Mayor Eric Garcetti come to the walks. We've had Congressman Brad Sherman come sometimes, and we have, I don't remember her name, but the mayor of Thousand Oaks. So we tend to have that kind of stuff. And
That's outstanding. It's super impressive that you're involved in this, getting this organized for the world. And the world is actually last night there was a mass shooting in New Zealand. So,
oh my God.
We need more acts like this.
Yeah, definitely.
To heal everything.
And I think something that we finally are just seeing is, I think we really need celebrities getting involved.
Yeah.
So something I do know is, a lot of you may know, Hailey Bieber, she just put out this huge campaign on her birthday. So it was, please donate to UNICEF. So that's a charity that helps out refugees all over the world. And I think this is something that really people don't know about, because I think the last big celebrity since her to do something really big was Selena Gomez in like 2010 for the same charity. And so I think people really need to stand up. And I think what people don't know is big stars are actually doing this. So I've been able to meet Ryan Gosling through this. Really, really nice guy. He did a photography for a book called Congo Stories. All of you should definitely read that book. He does some great photography, though. And these stars are doing this, but they're really not saying this, and they're not publicizing it.
So you mentioned something really interesting. Yesterday, in history, we were talking about what it takes to have a successful movement. And I think you would have a really great outlook and idea and like ideas about this. So I was wondering if you can just like let the people know like what you think the most successful movements can come from.
I think, to be honest with you, it has to be a mix of everyone. I think it really needs to start with people our age, because we have, number one, we have the future. We are the ones who in 20 years are going to be the ones leading this. And I think getting parents involved is definitely a huge thing, because we may or may not have the money now, but they might. And so if they have money or support, that helps. And I think definitely celebrities are a huge point of view, a huge point. So people who have over 10 million followers, even over like a couple hundred thousand followers, are someone who would make a huge difference.
Publicity,
yeah.
Well, we're running low on time. I want to invite Sydney back again next week, because I wanted to talk about her obsession with tennis. She's a great tennis player, amateur tennis player.
Yeah, so.
And next year she's going to be attending some
elite. No.
Oh, so, we'll talk about that next
homeschool
week.
Homeschool next year.
And rap. She's a big rap fan.
I used to be.
And talk about the other side of Sydney Stern. She is a teenager, so
definitely.
There's more to her than just fighting for world peace. And but this is real interesting. Thank you, Sydney.
Thank you.
Thank
you for having
me. Continue this conversation next time.
Alrighty.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.